Shout out to our newest sponsor, Outlaw Distillery. Made from only the best hand-selected local ingredients, Outlaw Distillery has become our new favorite weekend sipper. From grain to glass, Outlaw never uses artificial flavors, artificial colors, or artificial sweeteners, while wax dipping every bottle by hand. From their white whiskey to the spiced rum, there's endless possibilities with some Outlaw in your glass. Enjoy their products like white whiskey, bourbon whiskey, coffee rum, vanilla bean rum, and their honey bourbon, which I can't get enough of. Support local, book a tour, and head to 552nd West 8360 South Midvale, Utah, or ask your local liquor store for bottles of Outlaw's delicious nectar. Trust us when we say Outlaw means premium. Until the next spirits, my friend. Newsflash, Squatters and Wasatch's West Side Tavern and Cold Beer Store is still open. Don't let all that busy and dusty construction bother you. If our Prius can make it past that construction, you have no excuse. Just use the south entrance next to Ashley Holmes' store. Stop on in for a top of Maine wit beer, classic hop rising in all its varieties, or one of our favorites, Chasing Tails Golden Ale. Open 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Come stop in and check out this award-winning craft beer hotspot. Grab beers to go or sit and enjoy a pint or two. And guess what? They also have food served by some of the coolest cats in town. So you're all set. See you guys at Westside Tavern. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, friends and family, we are here in Epic Brewing in Salt Lake, and I'm here with my good friend, Mr. Wes Bowen. Wes, what's up, brother?
Hey, David, man, it's so good to see you.
It's good to see you. I haven't seen you in like, it's been a month, maybe?
Yeah, and this is like our... maybe like our fourth or fifth time meeting, actually. And
that's true, huh?
You're already one of my dearest people.
It's because we have great hair, you and I.
Heck yeah, we do, man.
Never cut your hair, Wes. No, Wes, but it was nice meeting you. I remember meeting you at Fisher. And Fisher's the place. I always said multiple times, if you want to meet a brewer or someone in the industry or a cool cat, go to Fisher.
That's one of the best place to drink a beer in town.
It's one of my favorites, for sure. So I'm glad we met. We just clicked on off the bat, dude, you and I. And I've been egging you for the past month. Like, all right, Wes, when's your ass coming on, right? So, Wes, I want to know who you are. This is what the goal of today is. I want to know who you are, where you come from. So let's go to the beginning. Let's go to, like, old school. Where are you from, Wes? Where are you from? Bring me to you coming to Utah, here in Salt Lake.
Okay. I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Get out of here, really?
Yeah.
Is there anything out there? And I'm... turquoise? A lot of turquoise?
A lot of turquoise. A lot of... dude, I miss the food. The green
really?
Chili? Oh, yeah. Absolutely good stuff.
Bunch of spicy stuff?
Yeah.
What's the culture? Is it more Native American down there?
It's... It's kind of its own cuisine. It's like... Spanish, French... indigenous kind of cuisines, all kind of marmalated together.
I like that. Really, the food is the first thing you say, huh?
Oh yeah, the local food truck, Green Chili Truck. They're not paying me to say this, but like I am so excited they exist.
That's awesome, man. The food, huh? So then, okay, sorry, I cut you off. Like we're 2 minutes in, and I'm like geeking about New Mexico, dude. Because I feel like here's a secret, and I'm going to tell the secret to the world right now. I'm going to retire to New Mexico, because there's nothing in New Mexico, and I will bring the, like, let's make New Mexico a thing. Because I don't like the snow, man. This is me. Everyone I talk to is like, oh, you don't ski or snowboard? I'm like, no, I choose not to. Because I complain about everything. I need to work on that. That's a me issue.
Same here.
But, like, if I see snow, I'm like, god damn it. You know, I'm like, I get mad. But I need to let that go.
let it go, like the Frozen song. I let it go. Or I need to do that.
Your feet are going to get cold scraping the car off. It's a nightmare, man.
I know. Cause, yeah, the worst is when you're trying to just be warm going to work, but then everything's frosting over on the windshield and you can't see. And legally, it's kind of dangerous to drive, but you still do it anyway. Yeah, because like, I got to get to work.
You got to get to work.
I'm not going to let my car run for 15 minutes. Anyway, that's a tangent and a half. My bad, Wes.
My bad.
So, New Mexico.
And then went to Arizona for a little while to fail at college.
That was, how old were you with that?
Oh, 1920-ish.
Okay. So the first 19 years of life in New Mexico.
Yeah, well, born in Lincoln, but moved to New Mexico as like kind of a little guy.
Gotcha, okay.
And then from Arizona, I joined the Army.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people are surprised. I don't have the face for it or the demeanor, really. But, I was just kind of like a lost kind of guy at the time. And did some time in the Army, and it's like, that's time to get out.
Gotcha. How many years did you... stay in the Army?
I did 4 years active and 3 years in the Guard in Utah.
Oh, so that's how you came to Utah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
I had no, like, I was getting out of the Army and, like, no, like, roots or obligations anywhere. My sister called me up kind of out of the blue and said, I just bought a house. Come pay me rent money and come help me with my mortgage in Utah. And it's like, easy. Path of no resistance.
Yeah. Older sister, younger sister?
Younger sister.
Oh, what's her name?
Her name's Erin.
Erin, shout out Erin.
Shout out to Erin Bowen.
I like that. So how many other siblings do you have? Do you have
I got a brother and a half sister and kind of a couple of a stepsister.
Okay, cool. Hell yeah.
Yeah, one of each.
I like that. Yeah. Everyone one of each. That's really cool. So are you really tight with your sister still here in Utah?
She moved back to Albuquerque, we're pretty close.
Oh, cool. That's really cool. Are you the oldest then?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Wes. Okay. So that's how you got to Utah. Left the Guard. 4 years you said in the Guard, right?
3 years in the Guard.
Three years in the Guard.
Yeah.
And then living in Salt Lake, right?
Salt Lake City.
Okay. And living with Erin, and then. Take me from there.
And then got it. Like, well, when I was in the barracks, I spent most of my time in the Army in Kansas. And in the barracks, I ordered the complete joy of homebrewing for one penny off of Amazon. And I was like, reading this book obsessively. Like, I can't really use it yet. I'm in the barracks. But as soon as I got to Utah, I was like, okay, now it's like 5 gallons of beer.
For a single dude, that's a lot of beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's like, excuse me. And that, also Kansas is where I, let me back up a little bit. Kansas is where I kind of got introduced to like craft beer.
Oh.
Like Arrogant Bastard, like that label art is like, it's like seductive and dangerous. And then the Boulevard.
The Saison?
Yeah, that Tank 7, and then the Double Wide, and the Six Glass. It was like these first introductions to these like intense, like kind of forbidden flavors.
How old were you when you got Arrogant Bastard in the Boulevards?
21-ish to 24-ish.
Okay. So you like, as soon as you could, you're like, all right, I'm going to try these out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really, was it while you're in the Army then?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So then, tell me the story. Did someone give it to you, or you're like, out of nowhere, it's like, I'm going to take that.
Yeah, the branding, the marketing on those.
So you saw the label
bottles,
and you're like, that's sexy, I'm gonna have it, whatever it is.
Sexy as heck.
And you liked it the first time?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, cool. It was like these like kind of mystical, forbidden flavors, and then like it like this like beverage like touches your brain in a real and like mystical way, and if you don't respect it, it'll beat you up.
Wow, Wes,
it was like a really powerful for all of us, I think, like figuring or like finding craft beer.
Yeah.
It was like kind of a.
It's like a psychedelic drug in a way.
Exactly.
It opened your mind, right? Yeah. It opened your soul, opened your space. Like, I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I don't.
Wow, Wes, that's powerful, dude. Holy cow. So, was that the first beer at all you've ever had? Or was that the first craft beer?
First craft beer. I did plenty of like.
Yeah, sneak like.
Mickey's.
Gotcha.
Mickey's and Old Crow and Coke. But then when it was craft beer, it was like, oh, this is like, this is serious. This is cool stuff.
And then that's when you order the book. In the book, you're like, I'm gonna figure out why it tastes like this and what made this this.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. That's really cool, dude. And then as soon as you could, did you buy a homebrew system?
Yeah, yeah. Went down to the Beer Nut.
Oh, shout out Beer Nut.
Oh, I love the Beer Nut. It's like, so you started making, you know, I made 5 gallons of beer, and it was like a kind of a powerful moment in my life. It was like finding like a superpower. But then it's like, what if I made 5 gallons of good beer the next time?
What was your first one?
I think it was probably a pale ale kit.
Okay. Not bad.
Yeah.
Is it all grain?
Oh, heavens no.
Extract.
Yeah, extract on the stove.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, I've had some good stove extract beers, like really good. No diss to the stove.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So then what was your good beer?
I got way into making saisons just because temperature control, it's a little bit of a cop-out, but still a really cool beer style. And so if you don't have like super great temperature control.
Let that puppy free rise, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Because were you putting it in like a closet or like in a cold space or like a dark space, if you will?
Yeah, yeah. Somewhere cool and yeah.
Nice. So how'd the saison turn out, dude?
Good. That's kind of when that kind of got my legs under me as far as making beer.
That's dope. And then you made a saison. Did you share it with people or did you drink the whole thing by yourself?
You got to share it. You got to share it, man.
So tell me about that. Walk me through like, hey, I made this. Try this.
Well, there was the Beehive Brew Off, the homebrew competition.
Which is coming up.
I haven't been involved for a long, long time now. But it was like, it was huge to like enter your beer and get like really smart, cool people's critiques of it.
Yeah.
And also like meet people too on top of it. Excuse me.
No, you're fine.
And that's where I got to meet like a lot of the local
like brewers and such.
Brewers and such. Thank you.
That's cool. Do you know how long ago was that? If you don't mind me asking.
That was like 2012-ish.
Okay, shit. It's been a minute, dude. That's a decade ago, bro.
Oh, that was a quick 10 years, man.
We lived through a pandemic, dude. The world ended. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah, those were the before times.
Yeah, right. This is the ancient times you're talking about. Oh, but that's really cool that a decade ago you went and gave your beer. So I've never done this. So walk me through what it's like to just take something that you held so dear and near to you that you made, you created, and then you had the balls, the guts to be like, try this, and you're going against other people who do the same thing.
Oh yeah. And I even like, I brought a six pack back to the Beer Nut to like share with the fellas that were working that night. And it's like, looking back, I was like, I don't know if I could do that again. That was like a little bit ballsy.
Yeah. I think it's sheer passion. I think when you truly believe that you did something beautiful. For example, I'm reading this book, and I'm going to quote it right now in a way, but let's take Martin Luther King, for example. If he came up to you and said, I had a dream. That's not powerful, but the way he said it, he believed it. I had a dream.
Wow.
The way he said it. Right. So you gave your beer and you're like, I have a beer. Like, try this. I'm not trying to compare you to MLK, but you get the power behind it, right? You actually give a fuck about what you made and you put care into it. And you're like, I believe in this. And that resonates in the beer and that tastes better, I think. I believe in energy. So like, yeah.
I think so too.
So I think you could do it. I think you've become in a way numb-ish to it because you make beer. Now you make beer every day, right?
Oh yeah.
But back then, that was like, I don't make beer. This is something I'm trying. It's a hobby. It's something I gifted with. And here, do it again, man. I say you do it again.
Definitely.
Do a one-off, I say.
Okay.
Bring back a saison. Bring back the saison recipe, dude.
Heck yeah, man.
I think you should.
Yeah, it'll be good to like
saison. Huh?
These days, I'll put 5 gallons of beer down the drain without even blinking an eye. Yeah. My brain will be like a lizard on a heat rock.
In New Mexico, Albuquerque. Okay, so then you met a bunch of people at the Beer Nut. So take me after that. What happened? Did you end up medaling, placing?
I won some bronzes. No, cool. No big deal.
It is a big deal, dude. That's awesome. Congrats, man.
You know what? Even just bronzes, it was like, wow, this like felt like a massive, massive success in my life.
Hell yeah, Wes. That makes me happy for you, dude. Do you remember what styles they were?
I think a fruited saison, probably like a red currant.
Ooh, a red currant saison.
Yeah.
That sounds sexy.
And a kind of a funky, I can't remember, some kind of a more wild saison.
Okay. Oh, so you stayed in the saison realm. Were you the saison brewer in a way?
I was obsessed with them, yeah. Gotcha. Just out of necessity, and also just, they're delicious, man.
You still enjoy saisons?
Yeah. Yeah, I miss it. It doesn't seem like they're available these days, but when I find one, I'll drink it up.
No, you're right. I think ones who make saisons on the frequent, I know Hopkins, Matt does a saison every once in a while. And I feel like it's one every other month. He does one. But besides that, I'm trying to think of anyone in Ogden. I lie. Fisher, Colby does this beet saison.
That beet saison is so good.
Beet saison is damn good, yeah. And listening to him make that, it's a great story to hear. I'm like, I'm sorry, bro.
it seems a little bit like a nightmare to make it.
Yeah, but he makes it on the regular, I feel like, at least once a year, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of other saisons.
I think Two Row makes one.
That's right. Okay, I lied. They have this that barrel aged saison they do in the Chardonnay barrels.
Oh,
my
yeah.
God, the Dangerot, that beer smacked. I want to talk to Brian about that so bad.
Oh,
I
yeah.
First time I met him, that's the one thing I brought up. I'm like, dude, that saison is the shit. Like, it smokes. Anyway, so winning medals for a saison,
and then met some epic people. They were putting together a Cicerone study group.
Okay.
And so I got to like piggyback off of like getting together with like Jack Kern.
Ooh.
The late great Ryan Buxton.
Ooh.
And my buddy Matt Allred.
Matt Allred. I don't recognize that name.
He's not in the industry anymore.
Okay.
But he's, you know, still a beautiful genius out there.
I love that. There's some heavy hitters right there at one table, dude. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was a really, really lovely way to learn about beer. Like if you ever want to study for or learn about beer, like you're not gonna get a whole lot done by yourself. Like you need some good palates and some big brains to bounce it off of.
You're not gonna know everything yourself. It's good to bounce off people like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially, I feel like their palates are. I mean, look, they all became head brewers, right? Did Allred become a head? I don't know.
No, he's not in the business.
Was he
anymore,
a head brewer at one time?
He could have been, but he had, he had other stuff going on.
But nonetheless, I mean, you got head brewer material at one table. I mean, shit, dude.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
It's not a bad upcoming there, Wes.
Not at all.
My God.
And you know what? It was like the hardest test I ever passed.
You passed it.
Yeah, yeah.
What level is Cicerone?
Level two.
Congrats, man. That's huge. Good for you, dude.
Thanks, man.
I'm really happy for you. Goddamn, Wes. You get cooler and cooler, dude. It's like a fine wine.
Yeah, you are.
So I want to test the Cicerone palate of yours.
Okay.
So I brought you the team at Strap Tank. We made a wet hop beer. So Derek drove to Roy Farms on the morning of like 4 a.m., picked off Strata hops in a van, drove his ass 15 hours straight to and back to home. And that morning I had the brewery to go, made a classic American Pale Ale. I made one rendition of the recipe, and then Julia made one in Springville. So Derek shows up in Lehigh, drops off the hops in the cooler. I think I'm in the Vorloff at this point. So he leaves to go to Springville to do the same thing, and I'm in there just like playing with these hops. Like I couldn't get like I had those that resin oily, you know, my hands smelled green and my hands were totally green. I'm sitting there just smelling them. So this is our GABF. I delivered this actually this last week in GABF and dropped it off. And
whoa.
And I want to see if you like it. I mean, I think it's really cool. It turned out, but the Strata hops. I mean, dude, it's.
Whew. Oh man, thank you so much.
Oh yeah, thanks. I just want to show this to everyone. Because like right now is wet hop season. I'm going to go try, I know Roja has a wet hop, Templin has a wet hop. You guys had a wet hop, right?
I don't.
Let's see. Who's someone else had it? Mikey. Oh, Fisher. Duh. Fisher has one. Just, anyway, I just want to go do all the wet hop beers. But here, cheers, brother.
Cheers, man.
Yeah. Mm. Oh. Mm. Interesting.
Like an earthiness. This isn't a great descriptor, but like it tastes wholesome. It tastes like earthy and wholesome.
Wholesome, I like that. Anyway, dude, yeah. There she blows. Dar she blows. Mm. Ah, drinking a good classic beer, right?
Oh.
But homebrew. So I want to go back to the homebrew a little bit.
Yeah.
So when you're homebrewing, what's some styles that you fucked with that you're like, hey, I can make this big scale. Like, I want to make this. I want to put my name behind it. Besides Saison. Take out Saison. What's some styles that you're like, hey, I like this style. I make them really well. And I want to share this with the world.
I had success with some stouts.
Ooh.
I tried to make a lager one or two times, and it's like, I'll come back to this when I grow up a little bit.
Did you have temperature control at that point?
No.
Okay, so there you go, right? It's all about temperature control, I say.
Yeah, absolutely.
No pun intended. So what's some saisons that are lagers that you tried and you're like, damn it, what was wrong with them?
Just being like fermented at in the who knows what temperature. It was just kind of an ill-conceived what's the word? Just not having quite the experience or the equipment
right
yet.
But then you're like, I got this. So now you're making lagers. Like, okay, I can do this.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Now it's like. all the dang lager and all night, all day.
Yeah. So is that being a brewer now? You home brewed. You're now a professional brewer. Are lagers your go to, or are you still like a pale ale kind of person?
Oh,
or still a saison person?
I love them all. I would. Yeah.
Because I feel like the brewer's beer. This is me. Are lagers?
Yes.
Pilsners?
Yes. Yes.
And saisons.
Saisons, you think?
I do. I think because you said you don't see a lot of saisons, but as a brewer, you're like, you appreciate a good saison.
Oh,
like,
heck yeah.
Okay, fuck, I can fuck with this, right?
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's like the hazies and the juicies and the seltzers and the this, that, and the other. And yeah, I feel like we're trying to make the next pumpkin beer. We all bitch out the pumpkin beer, but we all make one.
And people freaking love them.
Why? Why is this a thing? We're getting shoved pumpkin down our face at the coffee shop, at the store, the deli. Brewery.
Pumpkin beers can be kind of hit or miss, but a pumpkin spice latte, that's... I love that stuff.
I'll fall for it, dude. I will. Then I like the pumpkin chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, heck yeah.
I'm like, god damn, fuck. You know? Like, we bitch about it, we still enjoy them.
Yeah. Do you do the Harman's pumpkin chocolate chip cookies?
Of course I do the Harman's chocolate chip. And then when Erica Palmer's like, hey, we put it in a beer. Hey, god. I gotta try a Red Rock pumpkin beer now from Harman's. Delicious.
Oh wow. Oh heck yeah.
But I like I've always enjoyed. I gotta have at least one jack-o'-lantern from Wasatch. I always get your guys' pumpkin beer.
Oh that yeah, one's the delicious Imperial pumpkin porter.
Yeah, because that one's the porter, like who else wants to say a pumpkin porter? And then Red Rock always has like a funky different, it's like a different sometimes, you know. Last year was that pumpkin cookie from Harman's and I'm like, god damn it. But and then I find myself at least once a year getting a pumpkin spice latte.
People make fun of those, and it's like right? That's not really appropriate. That's good stuff. You're telling
on yourself.
I still
make fun of it, Wes. Sue me. all right, brother. So then, homebrewing. Did you ever fuck with the idea of distilling at all?
Not really. No.
No.
It looks fun, but I. Too much brewing to do.
Gotcha. And then off of that, do you still have your original homebrew kit?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have like this.
Get out of here.
We built this multi-tier like thing on 2x4s to hold up the orange Coleman coolers, and that's still That's still hanging out in the dojo.
No way. That's really cool, dude. Hell yeah. That makes me happy.
So then,
after the beer nut competition, you're sitting down with a bunch of brewers. People are passionate. You pass Cicerone. Then what happens?
And then, yeah, I had a number of interviews at Epic, and one day they finally hired me, and I went, like, got hired, like, straight onto the brew deck, like, learned, got trained on cellaring, and then was making wort production a few months later. And
no way. When was this?
Summer of 2016.
Oh, cool. So that was 4 years after you started homebrewing.
Yeah, yeah.
Messing with the idea. Who trained you?
Jordan, the Jordan Schupach, beautiful genius Jordan Schupach, and a man named Wyatt Stevenson, and I got a lot of help. Like, brewing professionally, like, if you can do it on your own, you're a better man than me. Like, that was intense.
Yeah, you got some cool help. Did you always stay in the Salt Lake facility then?
Yeah, yeah. I've never even visited the Denver facility.
Really?
This is where I live.
Oh, gotcha. So you're well known around here in Epic then, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I've been here for quite a minute.
You know what? Epic in the past has been known for kind of quick turnover, if I might say that.
Okay.
But our current crew has been since years and years. People here now have been here for, like, I'm still kind of the new guy in a lot of ways.
Interesting, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And that was in 2016, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. If you're the new guy, then damn, you guys got some experience behind your belt.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, those were the guys that taught me in the beginning. And Matt Thompson, our lead brewer, is...
I met Matt at the Utah Beer Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice guy.
Really super nice, nice guy.
Yeah, I really liked him. I resonated with him. I'm like, oh, cool. You're Matt. Oh, I've heard about you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm definitely fortunate to work with that.
So then,
that guy.
It's 2016. So now it's 2022. So... You've been here the whole time? You've enjoyed your time here at Epic?
Dude, every day I love it. But, I mean, it's hard work. The nights get a little bit lonely, but it's like, I think I'm spoiled for regular jobs now.
Yeah. Could you ever see yourself going back to a desk job? Yeah, dude. I hear you.
Me, you know, ask me at 2 in the morning when I'm wearing the rubber boots. But right now, no freaking way.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I think about that because I was fortunate enough where I was I went to school for athletic training. So I tried being in the athletic world and I stay there hands on still, learning anatomy and physiology. Like, I love that. I wanted to know the human body. Like, I kind of like what we do with the beer. Like, you had that beer and you're like, oh shit. Like, I found the human body fascinating. I'm like, I want to learn about these. So I went down that rabbit hole. Then I realized that I am not the 1% that is smart like everyone else. Okay, I'm just going to be the guy who tapes everyone, all the athletes. I can tape everyone. That's manual labor. And then picked up bartending when I was 25, and that's where I just started talking to people, right? After bartending, I got fortunate enough to become a brewer, but it's either bartending or brewing. I'm not going back to – I tried the desk job in between, and I made good money. Really good money, but it was something bad. I was a broker for a little bit, and it just kind of felt evil, man. Ugh. I was penny pinching people for a dollar, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't do that. I'd rather serve people. I'd rather, like, here, have a good time on me. Here's a beer. Here's a drink. Here's a cock, you know?
And you know, like, certain people are, many, many, many people are drawn to professions for reasons more than money, like nurses, teachers, brewers. And it does kind of make us rife for exploitation if you're like,
I can see that,
in it for like something bigger than trying to pay rent.
Yeah, one of my best buddies is a chiropractor. He's been a chiropractor for years, and grueling school he had to go through, right? But I look at him, we've had this conversation, I'm like, dude, I don't know if you can be anything else, because he's passionate about it, right?
Oh yeah.
It's like, I'm like, you're telling me you're gonna work for you're going to be a realtor or like something. I'm like, no, like, not that, no, I'm not dissing on these jobs. I'm just saying, I'm looking at him like, I can't see you because you're that therapist. You're that doctor. Like, you heal people. You help people. I can't see you do it any other way.
You use your hands to take away people's pain. How are you going to go? How are you going to go be a cop after that?
Yeah, you're going to sit there and be a clerk somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't, man. I just, even the pharmacist, you're going to sit there at the pharmacist and just like put all the you know the pharmacy drugs. Like here's your you know whatever you need your arthritis medicine for the day. I don't know. I can't. No, man, I can't. And so I feel like it's unfortunate. Well, it's fortunate. It is fortunate that we have to go through life and live this adventure to then become what are we? But I hope, my hope for people is they find what they're good at and what they like and they really enjoy and they have a passion behind and stay there. The dollar signs, don't worry about how much you make.
Yeah.
As long as it brings you happiness and fulfillment, then fucking run with that, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's where you are, Wes. You were happy being a brewer.
Oh, heck yeah, man.
Because like you said, the turnover, we've all heard about the epic turnover and, you know, Epic's a small brewery and you guys are running 24/7, I feel like. It can be tedious at times.
Certainly.
But you guys kick ass, man.
Thanks. Oh, man. Thank you.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I hate how my GPS always makes me make a U-turn on State Street.
Oh, that's...
Every time. I don't know why.
Me too.
Like, no, fuck you. I'm going to take a right by proper and then come take a left here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I kind of want to, like, maybe just go the wrong way on State Street for that 100 yards from 8th South.
Yeah, that's weird. Boo. That's the one thing about Epic. I'm like, boo. Anyway, Wes, we're going to take a quick break and then come right back. How's that sound?
Sweet.
Hell yeah, dude. Shout out to our longtime and extremely supportive sponsor, Fisher Brewing Company. Founded in 1884 and going hard since 2017, Fisher Brewing is a local favorite amongst our community. With rotating ales and lagers, a new food truck in front every day, and probably the sweetest merchandise you can find, Fisher is one of the most welcoming and loving locations in Utah. Also, Fisher Brewing just launched their famous Cerveza and Fisher Double IPA in cans off their brand new canning line. Open every day and located at 320 West, 800 South in Salt Lake, Fisher is a must visit. Stay in touch with Fisher Brewing through social media or on their website for more incredible things to come. See you at Fisher, my friends. All right, friends, we are back. Wes, you know, getting a tour here at the facility, Epic, it's really cool. I didn't realize how big of a setup you guys have.
Yeah, from the from State Street, you only see the little part of the building that I think used to be a Thai restaurant.
Oh, shit.
But then... in the back, there's a huge kind of warehouse with our 80 barrel fermenters, our big boys,
yeah,
and some 40 barrels, and
you got a lot of space back here, dude. You got a bunch of cans, you got a bunch of packaging stuff, you have your canning line right here, beautiful, and then gigantic fermenters.
Yeah,
I'm not used to this.
The old part of the building is kind of like working on a submarine, but then the back is. Like, you got room. You got some room for barrels and nice. Cans.
Because you have headspace. In the other part, you don't, right?
Yeah,
so it's nice to see. Yeah, I don't know. This is comfortable. You have room to grow, I feel like. I shouldn't say that because you guys brew a shit ton. But
yeah, you should check it out on a work day.
I should come check it out on a work day. Well, I've been trying because recently I've been on 410s. And so I tried on the Fridays. I don't work. I like to go brew with people. So I brewed with, you know, Grid City, and I brewed with... proper, and I'm like, that's like, I just want to go see everyone brewing. Like, I like that. I like sitting down and like, hey, oh, wow. Show me how it goes. Right, I want to see. Show me your work day, and
heck
then learn
yeah.
from there. The brewer, like, I want to learn from you guys. Like, you guys probably have techniques that I don't do, vice versa, right? And by the way, Wes, get your ass down to Strap Tank. Let's have some beers, dude.
Oh,
calling
yeah,
me out right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, I'll take. I'm gonna bring the girlfriend and everyone we know.
Please, dude. I love that. And I like Epic so far. So far, so good. What do you think about this tapless tap room? It's kind of a cool idea where you get to try whatever you want, right?
It's we got like the menu is actually pretty intimidating. It's like a 40 to 55.
Cheesecake Factory kind of menu. You got a lot of beers, dude.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a great time. It's a great way to try the new Baptiste series every year.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
coming here. Like, last year was really cool. No. Yeah, last year was cool. It had the mint. Yeah, the mint chocolate one last year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what else? Do you remember last year's lineup? I feel like it becomes a blur.
we did the Naked Baptist last year.
That one was good.
That one had, I think that was only like whiskey barrel aged or bourbon barrel aged. Imperial Stout.
And it was just like easy.
Without any adjuncts.
Nice barrel character. Do you get to help with the barrel selection?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
It's fun to like lay out, you know, 12 to 20 to 24 to 30
How
barrels.
Do you guys do that? That's barrel, that's pallet fatigue, man.
Oh yeah, you have it's fun to see the notes on each barrel progress. Like after four barrels it's like good.
I bet, man. I really do, because I feel like, yeah, you said after four, you're like, ah, man, they all taste dark, stouty,
black and wet.
Yeah, damn. What? Any idea on this year's 2022 release of Big Baptiste?
I still don't know what's going on with.
Do you
those.
Know when it might be released though, by chance?
Oh shoot. No, I don't.
Okay, so probably. I'm assuming Thanksgiving-ish. That's my. Maybe, I don't know. But I gotta see 2022, right? Because 2022 hasn't come out, correct? Was that last year? Am I ahead of the game?
I don't think we even have any Imperial Stout in any of these fermenters.
Don't say that.
I don't
Can't
know.
Say that. We gotta look into that one.
Yeah, don't tell anybody, but I'm nervous and ignorant.
Gotcha. So then on that, when it comes to different beers coming out of Epic, what's some fun beers that have been released lately that you're excited about?
You know, we did a collab with Melvin called Cross Country Chemist that we're drinking right now. And it's got the biotransformation and kind of a soft touch on the terpenes. And it's kind of like a cool, spicy, it's a little bit weird, but a little bit delicious.
Yeah, every time I put it in my nose, it's like, oh, it's really grassy. Like, I just mowed my lawn. Right. And then when I drink it, I'm like, oh, I get fruity pebbles. Like,
fruity pebbles.
Like, because as a kid, I loved the three cereals. Fruity Pebbles, Chex, because I was poor. We need to put sugar on top. And Life cereal. Because every once in a while, Mom would bring, like, maybe once a year, she'd bring home a box of Life. And it was gone in hours. Me and my sister is gone. Because but Fruity Pebbles. You get the whole, like, what's the cheap ass version? The Western Family version of the Costco version of the Walmart Western Family.
The bag of it
smells like or tastes like Fruity Pebbles to me.
Oh yeah,
to me anyway.
Oh, there it is. I can see.
This is fun, dude. This is a collab with Melvin, huh?
Yeah.
Epic Brewing and Melvin Brewing. I really like this, dude. Cross Country Chemist. Well done, brother.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Let's see. I like the back of this. When the brew teams of Melvin and Epic started geeking out over biotransformation, we thought, have these mad scientists gone high carousing? Clever. The brewers also dosed this beer with the Rocky Mountain's favorite natural flavor. Ah. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
This sticky, icky IPA has a loud aroma and tropical notes on exhale. Ooh, I didn't actually. Yeah, when it leaves the palate, it still has kind of that. That green Rocky Mountain funk to it. I like that. I'm going to call that Rocky Mountain from here on out.
Rocky Mountain funk.
Yeah, I was going to call it the green funk. But yeah, Rocky Mountain funk. So what's some other releases that, besides this one, that you've been excited about that's come out recently?
It's not new, but the Escape to Colorado, I think, has been coming out really lovely lately.
Oh, cool. Which one's that?
It's kind of a juicy American pale ale.
Ooh, a juicy American pale.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. Who is a brainchild behind that, do you know? Did you say Schubach? Call it good?
I would believe probably Jordan Schubach.
We should bring that cat on and you and I interview that cat, see what's going on.
Yeah.
When it comes to people who've trained you and you're upcoming in the brewing, because you remember we talked about, you know, you sitting at a table with a bunch of brewers going through your Cicerone. Who's some people that you've looked up to in the brewing scene that you've learned from?
Definitely Jack Kern, Jordan Schupach, and Matt Thompson, actually. Like, he's our lead brewer here, who's every day I learn something cool from that guy.
That's really cool.
Yeah, six years now, and without fail, I learn something pretty cool from that guy every day.
What about any outside of Epic Brewing? Is there anyone that you kind of learned from or have kind of looked? I hate using the word idol or a mentor, but have you thought about, like, hey, I've taken some good notes from this individual who I've met with, conversed with, talked with?
Oh man, I'm sorry, man. My brain is going blank right now, but it's like The answer is yes, and I'm spacing it right now.
No stress. But okay, like going back to Fisher, when we go to Fisher Hangout, sometimes I find myself doing this. You know, we'll be in a couple beers deep, and we'll talk to other brewers or other people in the industry, and just like, hey, this is, you know, we just go down this like rabbit hole of like, hey, this is what we talk about. Like, how do you do it your way? And there's no right or wrong way. And like, for example, I was talking to Chris Dietrich the other day about the Philly sour yeast, and he's an award-winning, he's on the GABF award-winning, you know, or World Beer Cup, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Philly sour beer he did. So I'm like, so how, what's your technique on doing this way? This is how I do it. This is how I perceive this, like blah, blah, blah. And just like, there's no right or wrong. I hope he doesn't look at me like, oh, I won an award. You don't have to do this way. Or he looks at me, or I look at him like, oh, how do I do it your way? Like, just like comparing notes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it is. And, you know, even some of the OGs like Clay at Ketos or Jason Stock at Squatters, like, we're just talking about techniques. How do you do it this way? Oh, I do it this way. Oh, shit, I've never thought about that. And it doesn't matter how many years of experience you have. It's how you do it at your brewery, how you... Everyone perceives things differently. It's all about perception, right?
Yeah, and every brewery is unique. Every brewery, every system has its quirks and its cool parts and its right. Sweet little nightmares.
Right, exactly. I bet every brewer at their brewery is like, well, this is one thing I don't like about my brewery. But we're like, well, your brewery's awesome, right? Like, that's why I'm really trying hard to go in shadow behind our friends, because I want to see. How I just want to learn. I want to learn all the things, dude. I'm like a sponge. Just give me all the things.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Not enough time, dude. Fuck. It's so hard.
Yeah, yeah. I've been at Epic Brewing for 6 years now, and it's like I'm intimately acquainted with it.
Right.
But like, if I go somewhere else, I'm like, I barely know what's going on here. Like, I don't know how Epic is in fact unique or what other like. Little special problems every other brewery in the world
so
has.
So, Wes, I'm going to challenge you.
Yeah.
Before your time is done as a brewer, however long that is.
99 years. The clock is ticking.
Okay, so you got... And within 98 years, I need you to go brew with somebody at another brewery. As a brewer, you owe it to yourself to go expand your knowledge and do that somewhere else.
Heck yeah, man. That's the truth,
just imagine yourself brewing with Colby. Colby Fraser,
yeah.
Or Kyle Lucy over at TF, or you know Malcolm Stewart over at Ketos, or Matt over at Desert Edge, or down at Policy Kings with Dre and Sarah, like you know, or Brett and Carson up at Utah. Like, just imagine trying to like learn from someone else. I challenge you in the next 98 years, go brew with somebody somewhere else, dude.
You know what? I might have to take back what I said. I did brew with Sam at Temple and Family.
Oh yeah,
and actually did learn a lot. And then Malcolm was actually he's like
oh shit, dude.
Malcolm's so good. He's
dude, Malcolm's
so good
an OG at, man. He's a secret. I call him a secret weapon.
Yes.
He's secretly like kicking ass, dude. He knows his shit.
He knows his shit, and he's really good at like teaching and
he's,
talking
yes,
about it.
And he's okay with he's patient.
Yes.
I've learned that Malcolm's a very patient individual, and I appreciate that about Malcolm because he's got a big heart. He may not say that he's got a big heart, but he's got a big heart.
No, dude. it's huge no matter what he has
to say. Yeah, he's a good
guy.
I fucking love that cat. You know, man, every time I see him, I have nothing but smiles. Every time, dude.
Yeah, he showed me. He did actually give me a good walkthrough on that like incredible system they have there.
Oh yeah, that system is dope, dude. That's how they can. I tried the collab with them in Grid City.
80% rye.
80%. All of us. Every single person. How much rye did you use? 80%. We every single one of us. What? And I see Clay and Jeremy's face like, oh yeah, 80% rye. We just, you know, it's just the same face. Like, oh fuck me. But that system is the one that can handle it. And it was a fun beer, dude. It was a fun beer to try. I loved it. It was fun. That was a good collab vest, by the way. Great collabs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That was a fun day.
A couple Saturdays ago. Yeah. It was a great collab.
Yeah. Try to do 80% on 80% rye on the Epic system.
Get
it's fucked, like,
dude.
Yeah. Mash in. Start your Vorloff or start your runoff and just clock out and never come back to work.
Just control alt delete, quit, walk away. Yeah.
Just grow a mustache and move to Missouri or something. Get the whole thing behind you.
I love that. So going off that, we talked about the Collab Fest. I saw a lot of great collaborations. Go ahead.
You had the... Strapchang brought the Lichtenhainer.
Yeah, with the Hopkins, yeah.
Smoky sour beer.
Smoked sour beer, yeah.
That was so cool. That was really cool.
It was a fun beer. Yeah, it was a really cool beer.
I didn't mean to cut you off. What?
No, you're fine. So... going off collabs, because like the Collab Fest, there's a badass collabs. Like I love seeing Offset and Uinta. I love seeing my favorite was not favorite, but one of the coolest collabs I saw was a huge lager making house, Bohemian Brewery, teamed up with Bewilder, who's a great traditional brewer and a brewery, and they made a beautiful golden British Golden Lager. That was cool. Like, okay, let's put these lager brains together with a little bit of flavor, like golden flavor, you know what I'm saying? Like English style.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that. Was cool, you know?
That was cool. Yeah.
And then Prodigy and Utah, they're Shandy, they're IPA Shandy. That was really fun. That was super cool. It just was missing a shot of whiskey. Like, it was so much a Shandy. It's like, oh, I need a shot of whiskey in this.
Oh, yeah. But,
so speaking of collabs, who's someone that, if you could, Wes, who would you collab with? Give me three.
Oh, man. Well, we got Templin Family and Melvin scratched off the list to great success.
Okay, yeah.
But
your TF one, by the way, was great. The Hoppy Pilsner, that was really cool.
Yeah,
very grapefruity. That's a great memory for me. So grapefruits are really, it hits home.
Oh yeah, it brings you back when you taste that much grapefruit in a beer.
I'll tell you my story about that later.
Oh man, three. Like dream collaborations, I think.
Go for it, yeah. Dream. It could be not just you, Tom.
Holy moly!
One with Steve Perry, lead singer Journey. There's one.
oh shoot, man, that's a good question. I think everyone will have like something like we can like cross pollinate with and learn something from. So it's like whatever my predictions for like what would be a good collaboration are like kind of silly and arbitrary,
It doesn't have to be a good... I mean, who do you want to collab with? Whether it's... You think it's a good beer or not a good idea or whatever, but like, who's someone you want to learn from? And like we talked about, when another brewer brews with another brewer, you're going to learn something.
Yeah.
So who do you want to learn from really bad?
You know, probably Juliet Strap Tank.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That would be cool. Bewilder and Grid City are like
cool.
They're kind of new and kind of killing it.
I like that, but I think it's possible, dude. Because the cool thing about us in this community is even I hate using this term. This is really bad. A schmo off the a local whoever in the streets. Like, hey, can I come brew with you? I know Derek and I get and Julia us three get asked all the time. Can we come brew with you? Yeah. Our kettle fires up at 7:30 a.m. So you got to wake your ass up. But it's open. If you guys want to shadow us, I'm open to invite. Strap Tank, you guys can come shadow me. I don't give a fuck. But like, it's 7:30. I'm not waiting for you. Like at 7:30, my ass is firing up.
I got stuff to do tonight. We can. we're mashing in.
Yeah, over time. Like, hey, if you guys, but like, it's. I love because we have home brewers hitting us up in the Utah County area, and people ask me what kind of yeast you use, or why don't you do this style, or why are you doing this, and we're open ears. It's like, yeah, we'll take feedback, we'll take whatever, and I think that's for any brewer.
Yeah,
as long as you're respectful and you want to have a passion, I'll give you the time of day.
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
If somebody wants to like see the process or have a tour, it's like that's the best part of my day. It's like,
so Wes, I'm calling you out right now. Can I come brew with you at Epic?
Heck yeah, anytime. Yes, please.
Yes. Yes. Another question for you. In the beer scene in Utah, I know we already talked about Jack and we talked about Jordan, but right now today, who's still active in the beer scene, who's someone that you really look up to right now that you think is crushing it and you just want to learn under for a couple days?
Oh, man. Sam at TF, Jake Corey, Kyle there.
Cobb. Oh, Jake Cobb.
Goblet of Fire.
Jay Corey, yeah. I keep forgetting his last name. What? Yeah, Cobb and Kyle, yeah. Sam Cobb and Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
good team.
Good team.
TF's got a good team. They got a good team front of house and back of house right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're front of the house and back of the house, just killing it.
Who else are you thinking about?
Grid City and Bewilder. I'd like to
Hell yeah. So
like to see more how they do it.
What Jeremy's doing is really awesome. His system's really cool. I think let's make that happen. And then when it comes to Bewilder, Cody has a great staff behind him. He's got Brian Best and Steven. Steven has one of the coolest and well-defined palettes in Utah that I think is underrated. And the thing that heart, that guy has a heart of like gold. Like he is Steven Stengel Engel. Like he's a radio talk host. Like he's the best, dude. So go to Bewilder. So on one of your after shift beers or one of your days off, go to Bewilder and just try to catch one of those guys and pick their ears.
Cool.
Because holy shit, dude, that crew is cool. Their Oktoberfest this last week was really fun. I love our beer scene, Wes, because everyone around here is putting their goddamn passion into this beer. You know, Uinta, Squaws and Wasatch, Red Rock kind of get like a knack because they're big. They've kind of, I hate using this, but sold out in a way. They haven't, because they have beautiful people inside of those breweries that are making goddamn awesome beer, and they all give a fuck about it. And you can taste it. I love it. Like, man, I can taste the differences. I can taste, you know, it's just, I love this industry. We're spoiled, dude. And you're part of that. Epic's one of those big hitters, dude.
Yeah.
You're one of those bigger breweries here. Not bigger, but well-known breweries across the states.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And yeah, I think, like, people might overlook Salt Lake City as a place to drink a wonderful beer, but it truly is world-class.
We bring home world-class medals every year.
Yeah.
And people are like, Utah? Yeah, fucking Utah. Because I told you we were in Italy a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
For my hiatus, if you will. And I was drinking some great Italian beers. Don't get me wrong. There's great Italian beers. But I looked at my wife. I'm like, Holly, I miss Utah beer. Not American beer. I miss Utah beer. Like, we make killer beer, dude. Like, I was craving. I had like about five or six beers. I'm like, I was craving. So when we flew back home, the next day I was at work, and I don't usually drink at work. Like, I don't have a shifty beer or whatever, but I did that day. That Thursday, I was like, I need my Italian Pilsner right now.
I went to Germany a few years ago, and it's like, these beers are okay, but maybe a little bit rubber hosey. Like, we do better in Utah, and it's, shoot, I lost my train of thought. Sorry, never mind.
But no, like different cultures have different perspectives on beer.
Yeah,
I get you. And then, but coming home to us, it's like we may be a young country, and we just like starting the craft beer scene. America hasn't been making beer for a long time. Let's be real. We've been making beer for a short amount of time compared to the world.
Oh
but
yeah.
I tell you what, we fucking kick ass. Sorry, but like, you know what? I'll tell you what. Italy, when we're in Italy, they make damn good wine. I'm not saying America doesn't, but I like the wine out there, my man.
Might take a few more years for Utah to catch up on the wine game.
I hope Utah figures out the wine thing, because our cider game is stepping it up, and I fucking love our cider game.
Oh, yeah.
Our cider and spirits games, because we have great distilleries here.
Yes.
I love New World Distilling. Haven't talked to them yet, but I'm going to. Hammer Spring, I think what JP's doing over there, Hammer Spring, he's kicking ass. Clearwater in Utah County. They do cigar pairings with their spirits.
Huh.
Let's go, Wes. Let's smoke a cigar and pair it with one of their spirits.
Holy moly.
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
this is great. We have really cool things in Utah, you know, and unfortunately it has a kind of shtick of being you know how it is.
You can't buy a bottle of wine at the grocery store in that state. Right. How are they going to make a fine
exactly.
Pilsner?
You can't go to Target or Costco and not buy alcohol. It's weird. It really is weird. Okay, moving on that, those tangents, Wes. Jesus. But I was going to ask you, what's some of your favorite styles to make as a brewer?
You know, I've been... It's this is more specific than a style, but the Lunar Transit, I've been really digging. Like we're picking up production on that, and it's like kind of a 5% hazy APA or kind of IPA.
Okay. So why are you liking that one right now?
It's just a breeze to brew, and then it, when it hits the can, it just really hits the spot.
I like that, dude. I really like that a lot. What's some of your favorite epic brews that you have made that are no longer made now today that you want to bring back because you're like, hey, that is OG, and that hits the spot?
Oh, OG epic brew would be Rio's Romp and Rye, speaking of our cider game, but hey, Rio's Romp and Rye.
Tell me the story behind that. I don't know about that. Never tried it.
It's before my time as an epic brewer, but okay, it was like a spicy, really malty, kind of a soft touch on some like continental hops, kind of a nightmare to lauder, but shoot, I can't remember where I was going with that. Yeah, just there's a lot of brewery. Especially for the era, like it was like the mid-teens when beers were just out there to like kick you in the face with bitterness or whatever. And it was like, oh, one that just like tastes like soft and spicy and trying to be your pal instead of like trying to prove something to you.
Gotcha. And it was a cool rye beer. I'm assuming a rye forward beer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool, dude. I like that. Well, let's bring it back, dude. Who we got to talk to? I'll fucking talk to him. Let's go. What's it called? Rio?
Rio's Romp and Rye.
I'm going to write that down. Rio's Romp and Rye. Is there anything else you can think of when it comes to OG beers you want to bring back?
It's not OG at this point, but the Naked Baptist. I hope we get to do some more of that.
That was cool, dude. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, our Baptist series is always really cool, but like a lot of it gets kind of a little bit like kind of adulterated, and it's cool to see just like a really good Imperial Stout go into a really good whiskey barrel.
Yeah, damn, dude, that's really cool. You have 99 years left here at Epic. Within the 98 years of Epic, what's something you want to do to make yourself leave a name, leave your mark. Wes, how do you want to leave your mark for Epic? Is my question, I guess. You want to be known for? You want to be like, hey, this is Wes's, or like, because of Wes, this is happening.
I just like showing people that are less experienced than me, like I like showing them, you know, how an easier way to do this, or like how that's done. I don't know if I'm gonna make my name through like recipe formulation, but like,
I'll say that.
Maybe in like 99 years, people will be like, oh yeah, Wes, somebody taught me how to do it this way, and somebody taught them how to do it this way, and Wes's great great grandchild showed them how to do it that way. I don't know.
I love the old man voice too. Last thing, like, Wes, I think you do have the potential to leave a lasting impression here at Epic. And that's what I love about you, is because you give a fuck about the beer here. You brew it with passion, and you care about everyone else in the industry.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I was treated with like patience and compassion, like being let in on these secrets about how to have a good brew day and how to make it taste good at the end of the day. And that's the one I'd like to pass on.
There you go, dude. Told you, fucking find it. I got you, dude. I got two more questions for you on that one. Okay. What beer right now, outside of Epic, is your go-to beer at the moment? What's your beer of the year, you think, 2022?
That TF Keller beer, that best beer at the best grocery store beer.
I like that.
It's award winning in all of Utah, yeah, and probably in all of the country.
It's a good beer. It's a good beer. Last question for you, Wes. What can I do to help you become a better brewer, or a better person, or help you as Tastemasters?
You know what? I think you get this one a lot, but I'd like to put a little bit of a longer speech on it. But keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, God. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, without like, without community, we're just atomized, miserable scrubbing machines. And like, what you're doing is like if we don't talk to each other, we're kind of in trouble.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did take this hiatus I keep calling it hiatus, I don't know why, but I did do it for two reasons. One, because I just needed a break. Two, I just wanted to enjoy time with my significant, you know, my soulmate, my Holly. I just needed to do an adventure with her with no worries about work, podcasts, family. You know, I just needed to do that. In the meantime, I did a lot of soul searching. It was fun to see how what I've done, what I wanted to do, what I need to do. I don't know. I've been questioning this podcast. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love every part about it. I think what has become of it and what's happening of it is really cool. What kicked me in the face is when I came back that Saturday. I came back. I had to do the collaboration fest, and I got to see all my brewer friends, all of you guys.
Oh.
And all you guys going like, "What the hell? You take 2 weeks off? Who the fuck are you?" Right? Like, I mean, they all support, but like, you know, they give me shit. But like, no, you don't stop until we say it. Like, you know, it's like, we need this. And so, and then today, you said something really beautiful to me. You're like, at 2 a.m. when I'm here at Prop or Epic by myself, I need someone to listen to and to listen to. How'd you say it?
Listen to my friends talking to my friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not like probably like physically possible at 2 a.m, but like, I think you have like a great talent and a singular gift. And when you have to stop doing this, make sure to train somebody before you go.
No one said that before. Thanks, Wes.
Yeah. We're, like without a community, like we're at the whim of market forces, and that'll grind our marriages and our souls and our bones to dust.
Yeah. And on that note, someone said to me, I won't say who it was at the beer fest, but they said, "I'm an introvert and I won't talk to anyone. Like, I want to, but I just can't. You know, it's my personality. But because of you, I get to have the conversations, and sometimes you get the questions right that I want to ask these people that you know, so because of you, I get to like, pretend like I'm there." And I almost teared up, and I'm just like, holy shit. Okay, I guess I'm still doing this, guys, for at least a little while. At least 2 more weeks.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely in the introvert or quiet guy boat.
No, but one thing about you is, like, when I first met you is, man, you're beautiful, man. You're a beautiful soul, and there's more like you out there, dude. I mean, that's why I did this, is behind the scenes in this, what you call a dungeon of a brewery. I say that, but I shouldn't say that. You're right, the cellar. Is there's people from cellaring to front of house, cold side, hot side, whatever. Their story needs to be told. Wes, your story, whether you think so or not, needs to be told. I had no idea you came from New Mexico. You were in the army. The fact that you give a fuck about, like, you homebrewed, you like saisons like I do? What's up, shit? Like,
yeah, fuck yeah.
You know what I mean? So because of this, I'm like, oh my God. And so if I can make it happen where like you're like, I want to go brew at, you know, Bewilder, or I'm gonna go brew at, you know, let's make it happen, dude. And if I can at least help you to some degree, then hey, man, that's it. But I want you to know that you helped me, because you reminded me that there's great people out there, great human beings that are still giving a fuck at places that sometimes are hard to work at, but you still grind, man. And us brewers, man, we love what we do. We're not going back to a desk job, dude. We're not.
Yeah, I gotta, I woefully wordless. I couldn't have said it any better.
But Wes, I just want to say again, I can't say this enough, but thank you for being you. If you ever need anything, you let me know, man. I fucking love you, dude. You're a great cat. And every time I see you, it's nothing but smiles and hugs.
You know what? Actually, you're beautiful. And can you teach me how to stab a beer today?
Yes. Today... Do you have time to go to Kito's real quick?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I'll teach you how to have a beer today.
Cool.
You want to do that? I'll fucking teach you. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me make a phone call. Yeah, I forgot my equipment's at home, but yeah, I'll teach you how to have a beer.
Okay, we don't have to do it today.
No, we'll do it today. No, but Wes, on that note, like I want to say thank you for your time today. I know you're a busy man. I'm excited for what are you gonna do after this again? Tell people what you're gonna do after this.
I'm gonna go geek around with some synthesizers with my buddy.
Yeah. So, what's your music career or what music background like? Because what people don't know is you dabble in the music world.
I play some guitar and I was hoping to like make some metal, but here's the thing, my sweet Jenny Penny Pigeon Pie like likes a sweet lullaby more than
hell yeah.
Like if it's storming out, she'll like lay in front of the or like start like stare at me and stare at the amplifier and stare back at me. I'm really skeptical of this kind of thing in general. But why wouldn't cats like a sweet sound?
I love that. So then on that note, like your synthesizers, you're going, why are you doing a synthesizer?
Well, when the pandemic hit,
yeah,
the world was ending, I thought, you know what, I might not ever get to play music with people, so I'm going to have to like program a bassist and program a drummer. That way, like, no matter how bad they are, they'll always show up.
Yeah. I love that, dude. Like, I wish I did that. Like, I remember my buddy, I told you about my chiropractor friend, like my best bud.
Yeah, yeah.
He does that. How he gets away is he just like creates music.
Oh, it's,
and I can sit there and like watch him for hours, just like create music.
Oh.
And what you're doing is beautiful, dude.
I wish
I was your cat right now.
When you're not like pissing off a cat and the cat seems to like it, and like you get like kind of you get to touch kind of you kind of get to touch a little bit of like deeper comfort and spirituality like right there in your home. That's hitting the spot these days.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that because like the pandemic was a tough time for all of us.
Yeah,
it was a if you will dark time. Right,
it's dark as fuck, man. Yeah.
So when you do something like that, that's beautiful. It gives light. It sheds light upon that. And I'm glad you did that, man. Hell yeah. So good luck today.
Thank you.
And if that takes, and sing me a lullaby. I don't give a fuck. Like, come play me anytime you want, man.
Oh, I'm gonna sing you a lullaby for sure, man. Thank you.
But Wes, again, thank you so much, dude. I love you, dude. If there's anything you ever need from me, let me know, please.
Likewise, brother. Thank you so much.
And thank you again for sharing the space. Until the next beverage, my friend.
Until the next beverage. Cheers.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @Fuse_Audio.